a new tax, we think the problem will be solved by, in fact, moving away from the solution of spending the money and rather to a solution of not raising the money in the first place. The LAO has recently opined that we can reach our AB 32 goals without withholding allowances and without auctioning them. We think that the legislature should take a strong look at that because it'll help prevent job loss, emissions leakage, and it'll get us to our goals. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next witness.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Brenda Coleman here on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce. And I'd like to echo the comments made by my colleague, Ms. Rothrock with CMTA. We believe it's very premature to be discussing the expenditure of this revenue in light of the fact that there are still legal uncertainties out there in terms of the CARB's ability to be imposing this auction. We don't believe that there's anything in AB 32 that grants CARB the authority to raise billions of dollars. And as Ms. Rothrock said, this is at the expense of business. Businesses are going to be having to pay billions of dollars to comply or to participate in the cap and trade program. AB 32 is not about raising revenue, and certainly any and all expenditure proposal out there is only made possible by way of imposing this billion-dollar auction on industry. And we wholeheartedly support the LAO's recommendation that you can still meet the goals of AB 32, meet the goals of the cap and trade by way of giving away free allowances. So for those reasons and others, we oppose 1532. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
I'm Mikhail Scavarlo with Lucas Advocates here on behalf of the California Council for Environmental and Economic Balance. We're also in opposition. However, our position is one of prudence that we're expending revenues prior to the revenue retire year or vintage year. And so in 2012-13, we're looking at spending 2015 revenues and so on and so forth. We think it would be prudent to escrow those funds until the year that is correlated with the allowance year and in order to not spend our future revenues for current year expenditures. In addition to that, we also see greenhouse gases as global pollutants and not local pollutants, and so some of the direction in this bill is not addressing the main issue of the problem. We've got other legislation pending this year. KEO 1455 is one of them that will address localized pollution in Moyer and diesel programs. For those reasons, we're not in opposition.
All right. Thank you very much. Colleagues, before we go to the committee for questions, Senator, we have in the analysis at pages 8 and 9 and 10, in comments 1 and 2, some important points. The first point is that there have been amendments taken since we've seen this bill previously, members. Those are described in comment number one. Part of the challenge is that the amendments have made the bill, at least in the view of the analysis, somewhat more complex and perhaps more burdensome for state agencies. Comment number two summarizes a series of amendments that the analysis has suggested. These would, and Senator Kehoe, help me here, I believe these would be taken, if the author is agreeable, in the Appropriations Committee, since we're not in a position to take them here in committee today.
It is going to Appropriations.
The measure would go to Appropriations. Senator, can we get a commitment from you that the amendments that are articulated in comment number two will, in fact, be taken in Appropriations? And if the Senator Keogh is asking whether you'll have the same constraints with respect to the rules, if not in the committee, then on the floor.
No, Mr. Chair, so it's very specific, so I don't misspeak. We're talking about page 8 on comment proposed amendments, section 2 or number 2.
That's right, it's number 2.
And we're talking about A, B, C, and then subset of C, 1 through, I believe it's 7.
Right, and then D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Okay.
Why don't you take a minute and confer with your staff?
Just give me one quick second.
Please take the time you need. I know we're all up against it here on deadlines.
And Mr. Chair, that is through K?
That's
K. Okay. Yes.
And with that commitment, those amendments will be taken
either
in appropriations or on the floor as the rules and the timing permit. Why don't we go ahead and begin the discussion? And Senator Blakeslee, it looks like you and I could have a good discussion at the moment since the two of us are here. Comments or questions?
Well, I think I'm not even quite sure where to commence, given that I'm fully supportive, I think, of the comments from the Chamber of Commerce, the question of whether or not AB 32 was ever designed to be a $10 billion tax, which would then be diverted for a variety of purposes, I think is highly questionable, at least as I remember being on the floor when Speaker Nunez presented the bill, and I apologize, I don't have the transcript. I thought he said explicitly this is not what was going to be happening. So I am concerned, and of course in the aftermath of Prop 26, which creates some very tight and strict constitutional provisions for how monies raised need to be spent, I'm really concerned about the constitutionality of it. I'm concerned about whether or not this is consistent with AB 32's original intent, and I'm also concerned with the constitutionality. But I'll limit, so I won't speak to those issues, but I will say I'm kind of concerned about striking language that says something to the effect of monies should be used only to achieve feasible and cost-effective greenhouse gas reductions. I mean, should they be spent for infeasible and cost-prohibitive greenhouse gas reductions? Why would we strike language that, I mean, I'm now speaking against the amendments that you, I believe, just said you would be willing to take. Why would we, notwithstanding my larger concerns about AB 32 and larger concerns about Prop 26, why would we eliminate at least the guidance that the money should be spent in a way that would allow us to achieve feasible and cost-effective greenhouse gas emissions?
Staff to comment on the particular piece. Senator, if you could give us the page and line number that you're talking about, so we can all talk about the same thing.
8, proposed amendments 2B. On analysis.
We're all going to point the responsibility in different directions here. I'm advised by staff that this particular amendment was, in fact, proposed by the author, Senator De Leon. So more appropriate, and I know you're here representing the author.
I haven't had that conversation. I can answer that question for you directly or indirectly, but Mr. Senator Blakes, I'd be more than happy to secure that answer for you and bring that answer to you on the floor. If that will suffice.
I appreciate. Obviously, you're in a difficult position, being the author. Yeah. So I appreciate your effort to try to help me with that.
To the larger issue, you know, and I'll do my best to secure that answer for you. To the larger issue, you express a sense of frustration. Speaker Pettis, nor I had the benefit of being part of this legislative body during the vigorous debate on AB 32. We weren't here to have an opportunity to vote for this measure, AB 32. So I can't speak to that with regards to then-Speaker Fabian Nunez. The tax issue, the language has been drafted and crafted in such a manner to provide limits and a criteria for the investments of the revenue. We believe it doesn't violate either Proposition 13 or 26. Obviously, I do understand wholly that that's up for interpretation, that we believe that we've crafted a measure that doesn't violate.
Thank you, author. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And as I confer with staff and look at the language a little more carefully, because I have to admit I had a similar question, Senator Blakeslee, I suspect, and Senator De Leon, you might want to test this out with the author, I suspect there may be a question of whether or not this relates to a desire to avoid frivolous litigation around this issue. So I'll just let it go at that. All right. Do we have any other comments or questions before we ask for a motion? The author has committed to take the proposed amendments and comment to on page eight and nine and ten, and we need a motion. And it's understood, Senator De Leon. My understanding is that the same rules that limit our ability to take amendments here, absent a rule waiver, are likely to apply to the Appropriations Committee. So you're, I think, if you're going to take them, you're probably going to have to take them on the floor.
We're going to take them on the floor, not in the Fiscal Committee and Appropriations, because of the current, we've gone beyond, obviously, the date needed, you know, under the two-thirds. So.
Do we have a motion to approve with as with amendments? Actually, it's moved to the Appropriations Committee, as it is, do pass, as it is before us, but with the commitment of the author to take the amendments that are identified.
That is correct.
In item number two.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion by Senator Hancock. Any other comments or questions? If not, could we call the roll?
Item 2, AB 1532, by Member Perez. The motion is pursuant to Senate Rule 29.10 that the measure be re-referred to Senate Committee on Appropriations pursuant to Joint Rule 10.5. Senator Simidian.
Aye.
Simidian, aye. Strickland. Lakesley.
No.
Lakesley, no. Hancock. Hancock, aye. Kehoe.
Aye.
Kehoe, aye. Lowenthal.
Aye.
Lowenthal, aye. Havley. 4-1.
4-1. That measure is out. Without objection, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, my colleague.